Fine Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Kia ora, Kirsten. How are you?
I'm good.
That is very good to hear. What are we talking about this morning?
We're talking about shoegaze.
Very
so
BFM.
Look down at your slippers and your house socks.
And you're halfway there.
That's right.
Hey, we've got some big tunes that you've put through this morning. Bit of My Bloody Valentine in here. There's some Cocteau Twins and Slow Dive as well. Shall I just hit the first one and then we can start talking?
Okay.
So what's the genesis of shoegaze? How did this kind of come about?
Well, it's apparently is introverted music for introverts, and it's also called dream pop, which is almost as dumb as shoegaze. Let's be honest, it's
just
dumb name.
Words in a sentence like strung together.
So shoegaze and dream pop are synonymous.
I think so. Well,
the Venn diagram overlaps.
Oh, their Venn diagram, but not the same genre necessarily.
Well, I don't know. I think they are the same. But talking about Venn diagram, I saw some amazing Venn diagrams exploring all this. Shoegaze versus new gaze versus dream pop versus noise versus pop rock.
Fantastic.
And then they placed all the bands in bubbles, how they positioned in this.
That's We've already great. Had a text in saying love shoegaze, Kirsten. So, yeah.
Well, that's good because I'm going to say I don't get it. And it's funny because obviously the word shoegaze was originally written by the British press as a derogatory term because apparently one guy was just looking at his program notes and also the guitarists often were looking at their pedals.
Yeah, there's many a pedal in a shoegaze band.
Yeah, so guitar pedals, that's one of his things. Long bangs and fuzz pedal fever was one description.
To be honest, I know that that's meant to be like taking the piss a bit, but it's kind of just an accurate description, isn't it? Long bangs and lots of fuzz pedals. It's a big linen
Here's a good
shirt.
One. Pale, floppy haired, cardigan wearing guitarists. I don't. Really, it is got a sort of a dreamy. It's got this weird combo of being soothing and dreamy, but also loud and distorted.
Mm. Ooh,
which you wouldn't think sort of mix to still create a mood.
Is it's quite a UK based sound, isn't it?
Yeah, so all our bands today are from like Scotland, Ireland, and
England.
And England. Now this is My Bloody Valentine. And it's the band famous for defining the sound of an entire genre. It's one of the greatest albums of the 1990s.
Is that your opinion, Kirsten,
nope.
or the collective?
Nope. Nope. They are the DNA of shoegaze. So we've got dissonant guitar textures, ethereal melody, and unorthodox production techniques.
And what kind of unorthodox production techniques are we talking about here?
Well, using the pedals, I mean, a lot of bands use pedals, so I'm not exactly sure why people think this is so much more different. apparently, this song does, this band does use something called glide guitar,
okay.
which makes the guitar strings sound slightly out of tune, which normally you would think would not be ideal, but it's part of its dreaminess, I guess.
That's kind of part of I don't want to say like that sort of slacker buzz, but that like low energy kind of moodiness that you get with a lot of shoegaze. It's got that kind of tiny bit of dissonance going on in there. We already got some very controversial texts coming in about if this is dream pop or shoegaze and if they can be the same thing. Somebody says, massive shoegaze fan here. Haven't really thought it's the same as dream pop. Shoegaze has much louder guitars.
Okay.
And someone said Loveless is and always will be in my top five albums ever. I think that's kind of the thing. If you're a My Bloody Valentine fan, you are a huge fan. There's no like lukewarm My Bloody Valentine fans, speaking as a My Bloody Valentine fan.
Yeah, it seems really, people are so, love it. And it is, I think, so it was supposed to be like a term, A, that's either practical, looking at their pedals, or B, like a sort of, a rude term about them, a pejorative.
Mm.
But now, it's about this sort of, it does capture the attitude. It is about a lack of swagger, say, compared to other rock music. What, you know, this is sort of,
it's kind
one
of
one person said it. It's hide behind a rock music.
Hide behind a rock music. Someone said glide guitar is when you strum the guitar while using the whammy bar at the same time. Apparently.
Okay. Well, yeah, in fact, I did read a thing where the guitarist was saying what's as interesting is I didn't use that many pedals. He was using these other techniques to create the sound. Yet it's, I mean, obviously, you know, other songs and other bands are using pedals, but that, you know, he didn't use it as much as I guess what, you know, the stereotype is.
I'm going to jump into this next track here. And so we've just been in Ireland and we're now jumping over to Scotland. With the Cocteau Twins.
And you, who apparently are not twins.
No.
A couple of bands have done that to it.
Yeah.
Someone says shoegaze has changed their life, Kirsten. So you're really hitting deep in people's souls here.
But no, I'm really interested in hearing this because I'm not feeling it, I'm going to be honest. But I love that other people are, you know, and I'm trying to, like, get it. And it's, you know what? It's put me in the position of maybe some of the other genres I talk about and like.
Yeah.
People don't like.
What?
You know, so I'm trying to, like, hear the love.
Do you explicitly not like it, or you just don't see the life-changing aspect of it?
I don't see the life-changing, and I don't hear it, like, as far as sort of big differences between other indie. But I, you know, like, I can hear that it's different from the aggression of grunge.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing the bit about, you know, the less emphasis on the individual and being a rock star, you know?
Well, I mean, you can hardly say that anyone from these bands was, like, going for the big, like, showman, I'm the front man, I'm the front woman.
That's right.
Kind of thing.
And I guess, you know, especially when a lot of rock, you know, probably did get annoying with the sort of ego and showiness and, you know, think of glam and stuff like that.
I gotta say,
you know, maybe it was refreshing.
Yeah. I gotta say, it hits me right in the emotional sweet spot, especially Cocteau Twins. The vocals in this are just stunning. Although, the classic joke is if you can work out what the Cocteau Twins are saying, you're like a wizard because they're just like...
Yes, apparently they're famous for that.
Kirsten, someone's texted in saying it's about layers, textures and atmospheres.
It is atmospheric music, very much so.
Yeah, one review of Cocteau Twins said that their vocalist, her lyrics often abandon recognizable language. See, now this, I think this was from Wikipedia, this says that they pioneered dream pop. So maybe this is more dream pop.
So we've just had a text into that effect. Cocteau's really don't sound like My Bloody Valentine. They're more dream pop and My Bloody Valentine are more shoegazing. I mean, that's probably true,
yeah,
but
please,
I think maybe they're the handshake, you know, that kind of passes dream pop into shoegaze a little bit.
Someone else has texted in, Kirsten, and maybe this is, I don't know, hits you in the feelings, but someone says shoegaze saved me from trap and hip hop.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, different...
which I love.
Yeah, which is what gets you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. Then,
what is your favourite phrase there, Tess? Different strokes for different folks?
Different folks, different strokes.
That's the one.
So, you know, there's obviously a space for people who want, you know, and want to hear this. Now, I think it sounds lovely, but the get going is what I'm not hearing, if you know what I mean.
Keith's texted in to say first...
You know, this passion.
Yeah. Keith's texted in to say first Cocteau Twins album's lyrics were actually witch's spells. Thanks, Keith.
And so...
Oh, my... Yeah, great. Now we've all just... Well, now we're all going to have
hexed.
Prosperity and fun boyfriends.
Someone else has texted in saying better than crappy yacht rock, which I feel like is a little harsh.
Oh,
quite, people like love to rag on yacht rock. Yacht rock does its thing in
I
its
like
own,
yacht rock.
Own way. This is also maybe a controversial hot take from someone here who says Brian Eno invented shoegaze on Here Come the Warm Jets. I don't know if that's like a historical fact or this person's opinion, but I haven't really heard anyone else say that before. It's an interesting call there.
I also think it was sort of like a British... translation of what other American bands were doing, like Dinosaur Jr. and that sort of stuff. And also more of a sort of a humbler, you know, younger UK people doing it. Oh, and apparently, though, it's had a revival. Apparently, oh, yeah. Things are looking up for looking down.
Looking down. Things are looking down once more. Down at the shoes. It's definitely
so, yeah,
sound...
I mean, could I have done...
Oh, sorry, Kirsten.
Could I have done dream pop and shoegaze as two separate genres? Could I have done them as two separate genres, you see?
Well, maybe we can revisit dream pop at a later date. We're listening to Slow Dive, by the way, to anybody who's wondering right now.
Now, apparently the post-2000s version is called New Gaze.
New Gaze. And is that just because it's newer, or is there a difference in the sound?
I think it's newer, but there also is Metal Gaze and Black Gaze, which is not about race, it's about black metal.
Okay. I gotta say, Laneway, was it 2017 or 2018 when Slow Dive played just as the sun was setting? That was very magic.
I think that's emotional.
That's emotional. That's atmospheric.
A magic, emotional, atmospheric. You know, it's not like about sort of dancing, right?
No, it's a different kind of a...
It's about waving.
You're dancing if you're at it.
It's about swaying. that soft sway.
Got a sort of a question here from someone who says, I always thought Sonic Youth were the forefront of shoegaze. Are they kind of falling under the shoegaze umbrella, in your opinion,
Kirsten? See, that's why I'm thinking it's more the British reworking of the American, you know?
I feel like shoegaze tends to be...
Back to Velvet Underground and Sonic Youth, but then they're sort of... And what they were doing was really innovative in UK. You know, and anti some of the other stuff that was going on. And, you know, it wasn't punk, it wasn't... And the weird thing is some of the later shoegaze bands became Britpop, which was which was one of the things that killed it off. Apparently Britpop and,
You want that more crystalline sound.
And they had more.
Someone says it's all about the melancholy. Gotta love it. I think maybe with the Sonic Youth...
But it's not goth, you know? It's melancholy.
No. Yeah. And it's kind of a little bit uplifting, too, that sort of, like... It feels very sort of filmic. Cinematic.
Is it? Yes. Now, it is really good for movies. But, see, I'm not hearing uplift, but, you know, it's...
That guitar.
Yeah, I reckon I can hear the uplift, but like, more on a, like, you've just... figured out something extremely profound as opposed to like something that's going to get you upbeat for a party.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's mind-blowing to me that people do, and I'm really interested in that.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like, I'm interested in, you know, like something that if you just played this to me out of the blue, I would not see this, I would not hear any of those things. So like, you know, trying to picture how it is for people. Finding this just the greatest album of all time.
Yeah. Oh, love a bit of guitar, I do.
I've got a lot of questions coming through here, Kirsten, so I'm going to put some of these to you. Someone's asked, is Mazzy Star shoegaze?
Now, see, I don't know this stuff.
Oh, okay.
You've got to ask BFM Hive Mind.
I'll put that to the listeners. What do you reckon about Mazzy Star? And then someone else said, is this genre really post-goth?
I think goth's definitely
influenced it. Actually, I can hear that. I hear that, too. Yeah, apparently... Robert Smith from The Cure and Susie and the Banshees, you know, was a huge influence on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe I'm confused because we had such a strong New Zealand, you know, Dunedin sound pre that time. And so I don't know if this was as new, you know, when it came out in New Zealand, because I, despite my accent, I did grow up in New Zealand in the 80s. Maybe that's why it's hard for me to hear it.
Yeah. I think maybe, because I'm still thinking about that Sonic Youth question as well, because I think it's a good one. Maybe the thing that people think of as like shoegaze is in the scene that defined the sound with all of these bands that we've just been listening to and others that people have texted in as well, like the Jesus and Mary Chain, for example. And they all kind of like, maybe they crystallized the sound. And as you were saying, Kirsten, you've got these American counterparts doing things and you've got these other kind of maybe similar or varying versions of it happening around the world that are drawing on different kind of influences. And this real like lush, layered, atmospheric thing that we're getting coming out of the UK is kind of what has come to define it. But there were sort of little offshoots happening elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think what defines a good genre is that it speaks to a generation. It speaks to a group of people. And so I think it really did. People were interested in bands that were less over the top, that had this, you know, lush sound, but it was still rock. And, you know, if you're not, you know, in the United States, you're in a different space, you want bands in your corner of the world doing that, you know. And it really did seem to capture how a lot of people were feeling at the time and what they wanted from the music, and the other genre wasn't giving to them.
Yeah, you know? We've got a couple of texts of other good bands, which I'll just read out before we finish up here. Galaxy 500 are a rare US example on the shoegaze spectrum, with a New Zealander in that band as well.
Really?
Lots of people saying Mazzy is shoegaze.
Okay.
I guess that's an American shoegaze vibe you got going on here. Someone says New Zealand band Sunken Seas, massive shoegaze vibes there. And this person said that Bail to Space was considered shoegaze overseas, which surprises me, but is very interesting. And also, we've had a few texts in about the Beautiful Noise documentary, which is apparently a very good shoegaze doco to watch if you want to find out a bit more. So there we go.
I should have watched that.
Well, I didn't know about it either. So we can all go stream it this weekend.
About genre. Like, as dumb as the name as it is, and as as much as we can debate on the edges, it does draw a circle around a certain clump of things that
Totally.
Can all understand. You
totally.
Know? If I say shoegaze, you hear it, and you know what I'm talking about. So it is useful, and it was a thing that happened. And yeah, there, you know, the edges we can debate around it. But it seemed like it was really important, you know, and then influencing a lot of other music after it. Like I said, Britpop and, you know, the sort of post-punk and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Hey, Kirsten, I've really enjoyed this morning. Thank you so much for bringing us shoegaze today. What are you going to be bringing us next week?
Okay, well, we're going to do Narcos, which are...
Ooh.
It's Narco Corridos, which is drug songs from the border. States of Mexico.
Interesting.
That sounds very interesting. We will be very keen to hear about that next week. Hey, have a lovely long weekend, Kirsten. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.